Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Non-League Nutter Natter. It's been a while. A month, Andrew reliably informed me it's been since we last recorded.
Yeah.
Wasn't intended, but for reasons that will become apparent, it's just the way it's worked out.
Yeah.
For the reasons that is about to become very apparent, we don't have match reports this week. We have a roundup of a flurry of fixtures.
Flurry of fixtures is one way of putting it, yes.
There's eight games for me to round up for you. Some will be quicker than others because I can't remember what happened in some of them because they weren't as interesting as others. So we'll start the day after the last podcast recording, which was the 26th of March, when Tiverdale hosted Whitchurch Old Port. Absolutely tanked it down all day. So wasn't sure if the game was going to be on. Patches passed the pitch inspection at 4 or half 4, whatever time it was. Went straight from work, got there about 5:45, 6 o'clock, and it was iffy.
Oh dear.
It was one of those situations where the assistant referee passed the inspection,
Right.
but obviously the ultimate decision comes down to the referee. So, and he turned up and he was a bit not sure about this. And we were like, "Well, he's passing inspection." He goes, "Yeah, but I didn't do it." We're like, "Well, if you're the one who's got to pass it, you should have done the inspection." Bear in mind, Whitchurch come. It's one of their longest trips of the season. It's a good hour and a half, 2 hours from Tiverdale to Whitchurch. So, really, my opinion anyway is if it's the referee who's got to make the call, he should be the one that's travelling to the inspection.
Either that or he takes a word of his assistant and goes with it.
So, what there was certain areas of the pitch which I knew he was concerned with. In all honesty, I had the same concerns when I got there about 10 minutes before he did. There's one corner of the pitch particularly that's bad, and when you were walking over it, the ground wasn't moving. It was you would walk and the grass would depress under your foot and come around at the top of it. There was that much water in it. It was like a steps on a trampoline, not a trampoline, like a bouncy castle kind of thing. So when the referee went back into a change room to get changed, I got the fork as much as I could. It did help a little. Well, eventually we got the game on. I kind of wished we didn't. We were 3-0 down in the first after 20 minutes. Can't remember. It's like I say, it's a month. I can't remember what the goals were like. That wouldn't have been great because we just didn't turn up really. Just before half time, there was a poor pass back to Lewis in goal, well under hit. Lewis has had to come out. Unfortunately, he has caught the forward and just outside the box and was given a straight red. So we were down to 10. Lewis is sent off.
Oh,
It's one of those. Lewis has got to go for it. It's a poor back pass. Lewis has got to go for it. If he doesn't, it's a goal anyway. But it's just unfortunate if he'd been half a yard inside the other way and just inside the box, he would only have been booked. Because it wasn't a dangerous tackle. It was a genuine attempt to win the ball. If it'd been inside the box, yes, it was a penalty, but he would only have received a yellow. Unfortunately, it was just outside the box, so it's a red. As are the fine margins in the game of football. So we didn't have a goalkeeper on the bench. So needed a volunteer. So Tom Cole stepped up, who was on the bench. So we took off one of a U team player who'd been given a start. It was a forward, just not because he was playing bad, but it was a sacrifice. And it was like, well, got to play a whole half plus a bit more with 10 men. It's going to be a lot to ask for.
Yes, absolutely.
A U team player. So, yeah. But from the resulting free kick, which took a while, because obviously we had to sort out gloves and stuff for Tom Cole coming in goal, because he wasn't prepared himself, understandably. Yeah. All that build up for the free kick, and the free kick went over the goal, over the netting, over the fence, over the club base, down the road. yeah, so that was that. So at this point, we went in 3-0 down and a man down at half time. We feared the worst for the second half. We were like, if we can keep this into single figures, we're going to have done well.
Yeah.
As it was, Whitchurch, although they were the better team second half, they didn't really push too much.
Mm-hmm.
They just kind of settled for what they had, knew they'd won the game. We weren't really threatening them. A couple of good saves from Tommy in the goal, in all fairness to him.
Yep.
And then Tivy managed to get a consolation. So it finished 3-1.
All right, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, not the best night for TV, again.
Yeah, not the worst result in the
second. Oh, no, definitely not. The lads, in all fairness, there was some kind of reaction in the second half. They dug in well to obviously prevent any more. And obviously stepped up a little bit just to get that consolation.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 3-1 to Whitchurch, one score. So then that took us into the Easter weekend. So the Saturday, which was the 30th of March, we should have played Stone at home, but that fell foul of the weather and was postponed for a waterlogged pitch.
Yeah.
So there's another game gone for the weather. Then Easter Monday, so the 1st of April, Wolverhampton Casuals away. Passed the pitch inspection in the morning. I was out, so I was like, oh, I'll normally get a lift with people, but I was like, I'll meet you there. So got there, got off the bus, which is about a 10-minute walk from the ground. Had a message saying, this game might still be called off. Like, what? Yeah, again, same situation at Tiverdale last week. The assistant referee had passed the inspection,
mm-hmm.
but there was an area of the pitch that the referee wasn't satisfied with. And again, my point stands. If it's up to the referee, yeah, why is he not the one doing the inspection?
Yeah.
In the end, he saw sense and allowed the game to go ahead. It wasn't that bad. It was soft in the one corner, but it wasn't dangerous. And at the end of the 90 minutes, it wasn't bad either. So, yeah, all rounds of casuals against Tiverdale. Not too much to report from this game. It was a very tight game. Game of few chances. We called up two U team players into starting 11, right back and right wing. They looked lively, played well, played very well. Wouldn't, if you'd been a neutral coming up to watch the game, you wouldn't have known they were U team players. So yeah, they did very, very well. And another U team player came on for the last 20 minutes or so as well, and again picked up the pace of the game well and did a good job in the middle of the park. Couple of talking points in this game, which were, one was quite funny. Start of the second half, Tiverdale played a couple of balls in behind in about a 3 to 5 minute period. Every single time, Wolves Cazes were screaming for offside. And I upset the locals with one of my tweets saying I think the Wolves Casuals management need to sit down with the defence to remind them of the offside rule and how it works. Every one of the ones they shouted for, like I said, there was probably 3-4 they were shouting for. The player that was shouting for it was the one that was playing the forwards on by about 2 or 3 yards. Wasn't even close. And then, ironically, Thibodeau took a quick free kick to Jack Till, who put the ball in the back of the net. The flag went up for offside. And I have to say, where we were, we weren't quite level with it. We weren't quite level with this. Jack was not happy with the assistant, was the best thing, is the best way to put it. But from where we were, the free kick was taken quickly, as I say.
Yeah.
But it looked like Jack ran past two defenders after the ball had gone past the defence. So it's like, well, if he's ran past two defenders, how is he offside? And the lineman's in front of us, so we come back up. We go, no, didn't he run past the two defenders? He went, yeah, but he came back onside. I'm like, but he didn't, because he started his run from the halfway line. I said, the player who's come back is this lad here? And he's gone, was he? I was like, yeah. He went, yeah, no, he was offside. So I think the lino got that wrong. the two players mixed up. But yeah. Anyway, as I say, very few chances in the game. Came to the 92nd minute with Wolves Cassis pushing for a winner. Thibodeau cleared the ball over the top, long ball over the top. Jack Tillou's playing on one hamstring at this point. chases the ball down, shrugs off his defender, looks up, he's got no support, but he's got a defender in front of him. Holds it up well, waits for the run of Lewis right into the box, perfectly weighted cross, left footed volley, past the keeper, 1-0 Thibodeau.
Oh, very good.
And that's how it finished, 1-0 to Thibodeau. So, yeah, 92nd minute. And the only team this season that Thibodeau have taken 6 points off.
That's all right then.
Yep.
Got to do it to somebody. Might as well be them.
Yep, definitely. So, yeah, that was that. 1-0 Thibodeau. I've lost track of points and what we were on at when, so I can't even tell you when, but yeah. Yeah, good to get back to winning ways. Especially after a poor performance last week, the week before against Whitchurch. So then we moved on to Wednesday night, the 3rd of April, so 2 days later. Thibodeau went home to Romulus. I can't really remember too much from this game. It wasn't the best game in terms of quality. Two teams not really playing for anything. Romulus right side of the playoffs couldn't get in. I think they had to win every game, and everybody above them lost to get in. And we were safe. So it was just two teams that were just playing a game, essentially. But this was the game that Lewis was suspended for being sent off the week before. So Roman Davis, the youth team keeper, went in goal.
Yeah.
Had a good game, in all fairness to him. Very good game. I knew he would be, because he got a fingertip or something onto their goal. He was disappointed to concede the goal. I kind of had to speak to him after that. Look, I said, I know you're disappointed, because I would have been, because you got something to it. So if you get, even if it's like the tiniest touch you get onto it, you think I should have saved it. But it was what's known as a daisy cutter. Just outside the box. Low driven shot, and it was bending away from him. So his positioning was fine. I said the only way you were saving that is if you're 6 inches taller, so blame your parents. it's one of those. If he'd been a little bit taller, he would have saved it. But you can't fault him for it, and yeah, no one will. No. So yeah, that finished 1-1. I can't remember what our goal was. So yeah.
Well, that's 4 points from six. What's going on?
Yeah. And unbeaten in the month of April.
Up to that point.
Yeah. So that moves us on to the 6th of April, so the Saturday. Thibodeau at home to Highgate. Get a message on a Friday night saying, because it had been a lot of rain again. Pitch inspection at 9 or 9:30, whatever it was. if it fails, we will move the game to Redditch United and play and kick off at 7:45. We're like, That's quarter to eight on a Saturday night. That's weird.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, Saturday morning comes along, about 7:15. Yep. The Waterlog pitch, we'll be playing at Redditch, playing at Redditch tonight. So, we're at home at Redditch against Highgate.
But at that point, there's a trying to get the games in, isn't it? So.
Oh, yes, definitely. 100%. Didn't see too much of the first half, purely because of where the turnstiles are located at Redditch. So they're about 3 miles from the pitch. It's a 4G pitch, so they've built a big fence around the perimeter fence so you can't really see. And then they've put inconvenient advertising boards in front of your view from the turnstile, so you couldn't really see much. Highgate were awarded a penalty. I believe it was controversial. Again, I didn't see it, but they weren't really many appeals for it, I believe. And then there was a few surprises when it was given and players weren't happy that it was given.
All right.
But that didn't matter because they put it wide. And have to say again, Roman Davis was in goal again because Lewis is part of a band. So he has gigs on a Saturday night, so unfortunately he was unavailable. So after about half an hour, we were like, all right, we ain't going to get many more people in there. If we do, oh well. Because we let them in for free after our time anyway. So we opened the exit gate for anyone else that would come in. Made our way down. So what happened then? I can't remember what order this happened in, but I'm going to go in the order I think it happened. Highgate were pushing. Tim Dowd played the ball over the top. Ryan Snape, who was kindly loaned back to us from Coles Hill, gets on the end of it and slots it past Reece Francis in a Highgate goal, and Tim Dowd won the look.
Well, nice.
Yeah. Highgate pushing for the playoffs as well, by the way. I think they were either one or two players outside the playoffs at this point, but they had three games in hand over the Darlaston and Stourport and Studley, who they could have displaced in the playoff places. So yeah, a little bit, I wouldn't say it was against the run of play because it was quite an even game, but certainly a surprise that Tiverdale would be taking the lead against Highgate given Tiverdale aren't playing for anything at Highgate, pushing for the playoffs. Again, we've got two or three U-team players in there who don't look out of place at all. So half-time goes in Tiverdale 1, Highgate 0. Second half, Highgate step up the pressure, ramp up the pressure, pushing. Combination of good defending, a few good saves from Roman. It's Tiverdale holding onto the lead. About 15, 20 minutes from the end, there's a ball punted forward. Tiverdale tried to clear it, but the one defender kicks it against the other. It goes up in the air. Now, I was a bit far from this, but Stu wasn't happy. He feels that there was a high foot because the defender had to pull his head away.
Right.
And the ball was looped over Roman into the top corner, and it was 1-1. I can't comment on that because I couldn't see it, but Stu was like, it's one of those. If the defender doesn't pull his head out of the way, he's getting 75 stitches in his face. Oh, and the incidents I forgot from the first half. So I think it was 1-0 at this point. Highgate played a ball over the top. Roman came out, headed it. As he was heading it, the forward bumped into him. So you could have argued that was a foul, but nonetheless. Yeah. Roman then regains his balance, tackles another forward. He's carrying the ball away, about to clear it. The referee blows for a free kick to Highgate and booked Roman. I was like, what?
What the hell for?
Yeah. Everyone was like, what? I think I tweeted at the time, that is the worst decision I've seen all season. I was more or less at the other end of the pitch and could see that he won the ball both times. Yeah, so Roman picked that up, but the youth team players don't get paid for playing for the first team. I'm like, he's not fucking being out of pocket for that. So I've got to transfer Leon the money. So that's reminded me. So yeah, I've paid his booking. I've paid his fine because I'm like, you're not paying that.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's not on, is it?
No, definitely not. But yeah, the referee didn't have a good game in this game at all. But anyway, they conceded. They equalised 1-1. They were then pushing for the win, obviously, as they would, smelling a bit of blood. Couple of moments where Roman gave us a few heart murmurs, but he knew what he was doing. it's confident goalkeeping, let's put it that way. Yeah, and Highgate finished the game with 10 men as one of their players was Sinmund, which was long overdue. Right. So chirping in the ref here all game, and it took him to about the 82nd minute to do anything about it, but he did do something eventually.
Well, at least he did something eventually, I suppose. So.
Yeah, but yeah, it finished. TB1, Highgate 1, 5 points from 9.
Oh, and doing all right.
Still unbeaten in the month of April.
Mm.
Yeah. So that was the 6th of April. So that took us to the 9th of April, where we were down to host Congleton.
Yeah.
However, the weather had different plans and absolutely tanked it down again all day Tuesday. And that was postponed for a waterlog pitch.
Yeah.
So then that moved us to the 11th of April, which is the Thursday.
Yeah.
Where we was Tiverdale versus Stone. Mm-hmm. Again, two teams playing for nothing. Stone wanted it more. Youth team players in the mix again. Let's just put it out there. Have you noticed a pattern as to youth team players being involved in the pickup in the results?
Yes, because they want to play for the team.
Yep. And they're playing for nothing, may I add, as I said with Roman in the last game. But yeah, so as I say, two teams, again, essentially playing for nothing. Stone were slightly more up for it. Lewis is back in goal. In all honesty, thank God he was back in goal. no disrespect to Roman, because Roman has played very well across the two games and pulled up some good saves and, in all fairness, helped us get the 2 points. But Lewis has been in brilliant form all season and we needed him again against Stone. They were given a penalty not long after half an hour mark. Definite penalty, no arguments there. Lewis came up with a save. He saved the initial shot and I think it was then headed away. But yeah, we went in goalless at the break. Like I say, thanks to Lewis. Second half, more of the same. Lewis with another two or three good saves. They did bring Roman on for the last 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
In goal. Had to make one very important save at the end. Stone had a corner, played deep to the back post, headed back towards the goal. Now, I wasn't sure what happened at the time.
Yeah.
I saw Roman get something on it.
Yeah.
And then I saw Roman hit the post. Not the ball, Roman. So I asked what the hell happened there. So what happened was the ball was headed back across the goal. Obviously, Roman's coming towards the back post still. Yeah. So he's just had to try and shift his weight back the other way. Managed to flip the ball onto the crossbar, but his momentum has took him into the post. So the ball hit the bar, Roman hit the post. but yeah, that is pretty much it for that game. So Tiverdale 0, Stone 0. Unfortunately, a 0-0, but it wasn't a boring 0-0. It was a good game.
Yeah.
Just a shame it was 0-0. And that was 6 points from 12 and still unbeaten in April.
Excellent.
And we were 11 days into the month and we're still unbeaten.
That's good going so far. Keep it going.
Yep. and then that took us to the Saturday, which was the 13th of April, which is officially supposed to be the last day of the season. Tivadar at home again, shock. to Shifnal Town.
Shifnal, that's right.
Again, not really too much to report. Tivadar thankful to Lewis Connor again to keeping the score low. 1-0 at the break, but he's made three or four massive saves. 1-0 to Shifnal. Can't remember the goal. Did the goal happen? I think it was a cross and it was unmarked at the back post. And yeah, it was. Cross unmarked at the back post and just tapped in. Yeah, but it could have been 4, 5 or 6 if it wasn't for Lewis. Missed the first 10, 15 minutes of the second half because the Grand National was on, so I was watching that in the bar. priorities. but yeah, again, it's pretty much more the same. Tivadar didn't really turn up. They weren't bad, but they didn't. It was a little bit of a step backwards from the previous 3 or 4 games. Youth team players are getting involved. I'm not saying that the performance has taken a step back because of the youth team, because we've taken about 5 steps forward since I've come in. But yeah, but I have to say, Shifnal's second goal, their keeper, I can't remember his name. He deserves a mention for this because it was a cross into the Shifnal box. Mm-hmm. Coming on to, I think it was Jack Till at the back post, it might have been Callum Powell. He's just got a touch on it, which took it off their head.
Yeah.
He's then come out, gathered the ball, looked up, quick kick released over the top, straight through to Joe Cuff, for Shifnal, who spots Lewis off his line, lifts it over Lewis. Lewis's backpedaling slips, and it's 2-0. So it was a good bit of keeping from the Shifnal keeper. Unfortunate from Lewis. he's had such a good game, but then he's slipped and let one in. That was 2-0 Shifnal, and that was that. And that's how it finished.
Right.
Yeah. Again, I can't really fault too much of the performance. I just Shifnal looked like they wanted it more. But that was it. And then we were down to one final game of the season on the 16th of April. And it was at home again. And it was the rearranged game from the Tuesday before against Congleton, who, as we know, pushing for the league title from previous podcasts. We'll get onto that a little bit in a minute. How it's finished and who's won it, for those that don't know. So I'm sure some of you do already know. they came. They were up for it. Very good football inside. First half, absolutely crowded us off the park.
Yeah.
Again, because of Lewis Connor in the goal, we're going 0-0 at the break. Could easily have been 4-5-6-7-0 to Congleton at half-time, but it wasn't because of Lewis. Second half, they went 1-0 up in 5 minutes of the second half kicking off. Got a second, probably not long after the error mark, and that's when Tibby was like, yeah, okay, no, then we're not getting anything from this today. We didn't even look like, although we came from 3-down at Congleton earlier in the season, we didn't even look like threatening in this game.
Right.
So I think we had one shot about 10 minutes from the end, which hit the side netting, and that was about it. Quite frankly, the Congleton keeper could have brought a deck chair and just sat down for most of the game. It finished 5-0. A couple of poor goals defensively from Tivi. Lewis again has kept it down, and honestly, it would have been double figures if it weren't for Lewis. He's had another very good game. And they had the best goal for last, Congleton. It was in stoppage time, 2 or 3 minutes into stoppage time, all to the edge of the box, took a touch and a strike into the bottom left-hand corner, which left Lewis with no chance. And that's how it finished. Tivadar 0, Congleton 5.
Right.
And that finishes my round of Tivadar games. I have been to one more game.
Oh, right, okay.
That was this Saturday just gone, which was the 20th of April, I believe.
Yep.
Yep. And it was a West Midlands Regional League Division 1 game. A couple of reasons why I chose this game. So the game was Gornal Athletic versus Butterhome. First reason being Gornal's current manager, Dave King, Thibodeau's manager for the previous 7 years. Haven't really had a chance to see Gornal play all year, so not yet. He's been to watch us a couple of times, let's return the five, and now we're not actually playing on the same day as them. There was that. Also, Dave was 60 the day before, so we went to go and see him for his birthday.
Right.
And Gornal are leaving their ground at the end of the season. And although I've played there as a youngster, actually, I realised it was 15 years since I've played there, so it's been a long time since I've been there.
Crikey.
And they are leaving their ground at the end of the season. So I was like, it's one I want to get in to watch a game at before they go.
Yeah,
so three reasons to go. So we went. Gornal in a position where they can still win the league. This is step seven right. football, so technically not regulated. It's one that goes up. There's three teams that can still win it. Palsar Villa are currently top. They were 4 points clear, I want to say, before the kickoff. And then Gornal are in second, 4 points behind, and Tipton Town are another couple of points behind those. Gornal control, full control of the game from start to finish, pretty much. Took the lead after about 20 minutes through a former Thibodeau player, Luke Carter. Just want to add, Gornal Athletic this season, 80% of their squad, you could probably say, is a who's who of Thibodeau.
Right, okay.
At some point, they've played for Thibodeau over the past 10 years. Peter Hawke is a goalkeeper who was one of two of our keepers last year alongside Lewis Connor. You've got Luke Carter, who I've just mentioned. He's played for Thibodeau. Wasn't last year, it was the year before. Darren Bustin has previously played for Thibodeau. Nathan Jones has previously played for Thibodeau. There's someone else in there who's previously, there's about another three or four players that have previously played for Thibodeau. I can't think of them off the top of my head. So, yeah.
Yeah,
it was a bit like a reunion going there, but yeah, they went 1-0 up. I can't remember all these goals either. The first one, it was some good link up play, eventually managed to get it to Luke on the edge of the box, who slotted it into the bottom corner. Second goal, I didn't see it because I was distracted by a tweet which I thought said Bewdley Town 1, Northwich Victoria 0. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
Bewdley have scored and they're winning. And then during that time they scored, I looked up to see what was going on, looked back down and realised it said Bewdley Town 0, Northwich 1. I was like, ah.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so I was like, yeah, no, normal service resumed. But I have to say, that's the when I tweeted Gornal's second goal, that's what I put. I said, didn't see it, distracted by a tweet, which I thought said Bewdley Town was winning. And I have to say, play to Bewdley, that tweet got one like and it was Bewdley Town.
Fair play.
It went in 2-0 at the break. Like I say, Gornal complete control. A couple of half chances for Butterhome, but nothing to write home about. It should have been more at the break, in all honesty, but it was some combination of good defending and poor decision making in the final third to get to it too. Second half, it failed to start with. Well, I'll say no to start with. Butterhome probably had the best of the first 5 or 10 minutes, but then Gornal just got a real hold of the game and didn't look back. I can't remember the third goal, but they went 3-0 up. No, the third goal I can remember. It's the fourth one I can't remember. The third one was Gornal won it back in their own half, high in their own half. Ball over the top. Keeper hesitated, came, went back, came again, stopped, and forward basically just lifted it over him. So that was 3-0. Can't remember the next one. And it finished 4-0. And the results went in Gornal's favour. Pelsford Villa drew 2-2. So that closed the gap from first to second to 2 points.
Yep.
And Tipton drew as well. But I'm not sure the gap is from Gornal to Tipton. So, but there's still plenty of football to be played in that league. Uh-huh. There was still six games to go on Saturday. I think there's four left now. And it may be another destination for me next Tuesday because it is the final game at Garden Walk and it's against Tipton Town, who are up there fighting for the league. So it should be a good one and it should be a good crowd. Yeah. So that concludes the flurry of fixtures.
Right. Well, I can't match that at all. In fact, I haven't been anywhere since the 6th of April. And that was Barton Rovers against Waltham Abbey, and it finished 0-0 because both teams were playing against the wind that day. It was gale force. Every time they put the ball anything above head height, you couldn't guarantee where the hell the damn thing was going to land. And so that one finished 0-0. It was an interesting match, but like I say, the wind won. So, but yeah. I haven't been to a match since because of other things going on. So.
Yeah, that was the day we played at Redditch. We got lucky, the wind died down by the time we kicked off at midnight.
Yeah. So the combination of you being out every couple of nights with Timberdale and me doing other things, that's why we haven't been able to record for a month. Yeah. But what it has done is it's allowed a lot of the leagues to wrap themselves up.
Yeah.
So steps one and two, National League is done, they're into the playoffs. National League North and National League South are done, they're into the playoffs. Yeah. So we'll start and have a quick roundup of those. I think last time we recorded, actually, the National League was already pretty much wrapped up, if not completely done, with Chesterfield winning it by something like 20 points in the end.
Yeah.
So they got promoted into League Two. Mm-hmm. The playoffs semi-finals take place this weekend. So semi-final one is Barnet against Solihull Moors on Saturday.
Yeah.
And semi-final two is on Sunday, will be Bromley against Altrincham. So there you go. Of those, I think only Barnet's actually been in the Football League beforehand. Don't think any of the others have.
Altrincham
was a bloody long time ago.
Altrincham, I feel like that may have been a long time ago, but I could be wrong there.
Moors definitely haven't.
No, Bromley haven't either.
No.
I would fancy Bromley to win theirs.
Yeah.
Their semi. And then I think you'd have to fancy Barnet. But I feel that could be more of a...
That could be a closer match, but I would still go with Barnet. National League North, then, step two. Champions Tamworth.
Yep.
And the playoff semi-finals again this weekend. The first one on Saturday, Scunthorpe against Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Sunday, Brackley against Chorley.
Ooh.
So that's a tough one to decide on those. So.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I would say you'd have to fancy Scunthorpe, but they've had such a hit and miss season.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
one-off game as well. So.
Well, that's the thing, and you get to this state, and it is literally one-off games.
Yeah. And then National League South, the champions Yeovil, and the playoffs again. Saturday we've got Chelmsford against Braintree, and on Sunday Worthing against Maidstone.
Mm-hmm.
But then we know Maidstone are bloody good at one-off games.
Yeah.
Look at that cup run this year. So.
Yeah. Exactly,
so I wouldn't bet against them necessarily.
No, definitely. That's, again, you can't even draw a predict it, can you?
No, exactly.
The thing is, the teams are in the playoffs for a reason.
Yeah, exactly. They're all good teams. They all deserve to be there on merit, and any one of them could take the title. So take the promotion up. So yeah, so that's steps one and two. So the actual league season is done. They're into the playoffs. Step three and step four, the Trident leagues. They play their last day is Saturday.
Yeah.
So there are still things to play for in a lot of these. Not necessarily the title, but certainly stuff to play for. So we start with step three, the Isthmian Premier League, first of all. The titles round up, Hornchurch won it, no problem at all. Into the playoffs, Chatham and Enfield are definitely confirmed in the playoffs. Two more spots. We've got Wingate and Finchley, 73 points plus 13 goal difference. Horsham, 73 points plus 12 goal difference. So both of those will probably get the playoff points, but in sixth place, no, fifth place at the moment, is it? No, one, two, three, four, sixth place. Billericay are on 70 points.
Yeah.
So only three behind those two are the ones. They've already got a plus 24 goal difference.
So it's one of them.
So if either Horsham or Wingate slip up and Billericay win, they're going to overtake them because goal difference is huge. At the other end of the table, Kingstonian have gone, Concord have gone, Haringey have gone, and then it's a toss-up between Margate or Cheshunt. Cheshunt will probably stay up. Margate are on 39 points, minus 28 goal difference. Cheshunt, 42 points, minus 14 goal difference.
So they need Margate a win and a massive goal swing.
Cheshunt lose, and they need a massive goal swing.
Yeah.
Unlikely, I fear, especially since Margate will be playing away at Billericay. Who are after this last playoff spot. So I don't think Margate have got a chance. I think they're down. Billericay will be gunning for it and winning and hoping that Wingate or Horsham slip up. Horsham have got Concord, who are playing for nothing, and Wingate are at home against Carshalton again, who are playing for nothing. Cheshunt, who I think are probably going to be remain safer away at Hashtag. Again, they should be safe. So the real question there is, can Wingate and Horsham get something out of their games?
Just hang on to the
Billericay's game pointless.
Yeah.
So that's the Isthmian. So there's still plenty of stuff to go to. If I was going to go to any game there, I would be going to Billericay against Margate.
Yeah, 100%.
And hoping Horsham and Wingate slipped up, because that would be a hell of a crowd to be in if Billericay make the playoffs. So that's my recommendation for that league. Northern Premier League. Champions Radcliffe, they've sorted that. Playoffs, well, three of the spots are sorted. Macclesfield, Marine and Warrington Rylands are already confirmed in the playoffs. One more spot in the playoffs could go to either Worksop, Hyde or Ashton. All of them on 67 points. Worksop plus 21 goal difference, Hyde plus 20, Ashton plus 12. Now, it's an odd one because there's an odd number in that league due to a team dropping out, I believe.
It was it's the one we covered earlier, Mask United.
Mask. They're out. So it means Hyde have already played all their games. But if Worksop happen to lose by two or more goals,
it could see them
Hyde will overtake them on goal difference. It could get them in.
So
it's still very interesting. Even though Hyde aren't playing Saturday, they could still make the playoffs. So the games, key games here, Ashton are at home against Marine, who are in the playoffs and safe. And Worksop are away at Atherton Collieries, who are already down. They've already been relegated. So Mask are gone because they're disbanded. Atherton Collieries are down. Bradford Park Avenue and Stafford are down on that one. So so I think Worksop will probably win anyway if they're away at Atherton. But there could be a spoiler in there. They might, but still interesting games to go there. Southern League Central Premier Champions Needham Market, that's all sorted, done and dusted. Playoffs, Telford and Michelova are in, no problem at all. We've got three teams vying for the last spot. We've got Leamington on 68 points, Redditch on 67. We've got four teams going for two places. Leamington on 68, Redditch 67, Stamford 66, Stratford 66. Relegated, Nuneaton have disbanded, they're gone. Long Eaton are gone, and Berkhamsted are gone. And Hitchin are in the last relegation spot on 38 points. Sudbury just above them on 40 points. So there's still a risk of Sudbury going down there. Kitchener at home against Stourbridge.
How are you going?
No, I'm going somewhere else. I'll tell you about that in a bit. I'm going to Hitchin. I reckon they'll go down. So I don't reckon they'll beat Stourbridge. And Having said that, if they did manage to beat Stourbridge, Sudbury are away at Leamington. Leamington are still trying to confirm a play. Sudbury have not got an easy game Saturday. If they did manage to beat Stourbridge, they could overtake them and stay up, which would be really good. But
where's the Hitchin game?
At home at Hitchin.
I can see you doing Stourbridge. They've not had the best year. It's a funny old club, Stourbridge. The fans aren't 100% behind them at the minute, and when the fans aren't 100% behind them, things tend not to go well.
Okay, so we can hope Hitchin will do it, because I don't think Sudbury will win. As for the other ones going for the playoffs, Stamford are away at Michelover, who already got their playoff sorted. Redditch are at home against Needham Market, who have already been crowned champions, so they won't care.
Yeah.
And Stratford are away at Royston, which could be a tough game, because Royston's always a difficult place to go to.
Royston are a good team. I've seen them play at Haldane this year. They are a good side.
Yeah, exactly. Going to Royston, it really is. So there's still bits to play for in Southern League Premier Central. Southern League Premier South, we've got the champions of Chesham, they're sorted.
Yeah.
Totten, Salisbury and Gosport already in the playoffs. We've got one more spot, and it is basically Bracknell's to lose. They're on 67 points.
Yeah.
And Merthyr are on 64.
Okay.
But this is where it's interesting. Bracknell's goal difference is plus 13. Merthyr's is plus 20.
Bit
like the Northern here. The Isthmian, wasn't it? Where goal difference makes a difference. If Bracknell did lose and Merthyr did win, Merthyr will go into that playoff spot. So Bracknell are all home against Hayes and Yedding, who are still playing for something as well, because they are in a relegation spot and they could get out of it with a win.
Yeah.
Merthyr are at home against Harrow, who are already relegated, so they don't care. So relegated Didcot and Harrow already down, Hayes and Yedding on 45, Swindon Supermarine 46, and Beaconsfield and Plymouth Parkway both on 47.
Wow.
Two more relegation spots there. So that's interesting there. So Beaconsfield are playing against Plymouth. That's a real six-pointer down there, because they're both in that dodgy spot. Swindon at home against Winchester. So we'll see what happens there. But, so of those ones, I would think Merthyr will be a good place to go. But I ain't going down to South Wales. So all of these got games to play for. So that's step three. Step four gets more interesting. That was interesting. This gets more. Northern Premier League, Division One East.
Yep.
We haven't got a champion sorted yet.
Oh.
Hebburn are on 78 points and Stockton are on 77.
Okay. Are they playing each other? Are they playing each other?
No, unfortunately not. I wish they were. I might make a long drive if they were. Stockton are away at Belper. And let's have a look. Hebburn are away at Sheffield. Neither have got much to play for. The rest of the playoffs are sorted. Dunstan, Pontefract, Collieries and Carlton Town are all in the playoffs anyway, so nothing else at the top end. At the bottom end, Winterton Rangers are gone, but Brighouse or Bridlington will be going with them. Brighouse currently on 33 points, Bridlington on 35. Brighouse at home against Carlton, who are in the playoffs, and Bridlington away to Consett, who are somewhere mid-table. So there's still champions to be decided there. Then let's do Northern Premier League Division 1 West. That's round up. That's Leek have won that one.
They have.
You've got in the playoffs, potentially in the playoffs, it could be four of the following five. Runcorn on 65 points, Prescott Cables on 64, And then you've got City of Liverpool, Bootle and Witton Albion all on 62 points.
Wow.
So in theory, it could be any four of those five.
Yeah.
Already down Hednesford and 1874 Northwich.
Yeah.
Northwich are playing a home against Runcorn Linnets. City of Liverpool play Witton, so they're two of the ones after the playoffs.
Yeah.
Bootle are away at Hednesford, are already down, and Prescott Cables are away at Trafford. So, interesting ones there. I think Hednesford... No, I would say City of Liverpool against Witton Albion, because they could both... One of them could get into the playoffs.
Yeah. Somewhat of a derby as well. Crewe and Liverpool, they're not far off from each other.
Yeah. Exactly. So that'd be a good one to go to.
Yeah.
Then into the other one in the Northern Premier League, Division 1 Midlands. Mm-hmm. Again, the championship is still on hold. Spalding on 86 points, Anstey Nomads on 85.
Yep.
The rest of the playoffs are sorted. Harborough, Hinckley and Corner in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, theoretically, Loughborough Dynamo could do it, but they need results to go their way and a 19-goal swing, so that ain't going to happen. Now... Interestingly, I saw a tweet earlier today. Spalding are at home on Saturday against Coleshill.
Coleshill, yeah.
And they have just tweeted that it is free entry to the game.
Yes, it is. Good club, Spalding. I've been there a few times myself. I think I remember you. Obviously, I think I've said it on the one in the past, but when I was trying to do my FA Cup run, I put a tweet out saying I couldn't go to Spalding. It's too expensive on the train. I actually paid for my train.
So it's free tickets, free entry to Spalding against Coleshill. They could wrap up the championship with that win. Meanwhile, Anstey Nomads are at home against Sutton Coldfield. So at the other end of the table, Gresley are pretty much down, and then Rushton and Diamonds and Rugby Town are pretty close to each other. Boldmere have got. Rugby got to go to Boldmere, and Rushton are away at Walsall Wood. So
I can see Rushton winning
that. So that's the Northern there. Then we're into Southern League Division 1 Central.
Yep.
Again, the championship is still to be decided.
Ooh.
Biggles Wade are on 69 points with a plus 35 goal difference. Bedford Town are on 66 points with a plus 38 goal difference. So this is yet again, if Biggleswade lose and Bedford win, Bedford will win the division.
Yeah.
That's the game I'm going to. I'm going to Bedford Town home against Northleigh.
Yeah.
Because if Biggleswade lose and Bedford win, that's going to be a good atmosphere to be in.
Yep, 100%.
Yeah. So Biggleswade Town are at home against Ware, who are already in the playoffs. Along with Wotton Abbey and AFC Dunstable. So Biggleswade, theoretically, have got the harder game.
Mm-hmm.
Biggleswade Town. I have to say Biggleswade Town because there's another Biggleswade in this blooming division. relegated at the other end, Kempston are down. Tame are pretty much down. Theoretically, they could get out of it, but it's unlikely. So they're pretty much down. But yeah, so I'm going to go to Bedford against Northleigh and hope Bedford win and Biggleswade Town lose.
Fair enough.
As I say, that'll be a good one. Yeah. Southern League South Division 1. Again, still no champion.
Okay.
Wimborne on 76 points and Frome on 74. Then in the playoffs, we've got Cribbs and Larkhall Athletic. And then either Mousehole on 55 points or Bristol Manor Farm also on 55 points.
Mm.
So, interesting here, because Bristol Manor Farm, vying for the playoff spot, are away at Frome, who could still win the title.
The league. Yeah.
Wimborne, meanwhile, are away at Melksham, who've got nothing to play for.
Yeah.
And Mousehole hosts Bishop's Cleeve. So, there we go.
That's a long journey, isn't it?
Now, anywhere to Mousehole's a long journey.
Yeah.
Isthmian Premier Division North, Lowestoft Champions, Boers and Pitsy, Felixstowe, somebody else who I can't read, and Brentford are in the Bury Town. That's it, Bury St Edmunds Town, and Brentwood are in the playoffs. And relegated East Thurrock have been disbanded and Stowmarket down. So that was easy. Yeah. Nothing to play for anybody in that division. Division One, South Central, champions of Chertsey. Playoffs are sorted as well. Marlow, Leatherhead, Southall and Westfield, and relegated Corinthian Casuals and Chipstead. So again, nothing much to play for in that one.
Yeah.
But the Isthmian Premier South East, we've still got a title on the line here, in theory. It's going to take a bit, but Cray Valley are on 92 points with a plus 69 goal difference. Ramsgate on 89 points with a plus 66. So only 3 points. So they could equal the points, but they're going to need a 3-4 goal swing as well.
Yeah.
So, and I didn't write down who these guys are playing. That was careless, wasn't it? I have to get the fixtures up. There you go. I've got the paper right here.
It's the
South Central. I bloody hope so. That'd be good. The South East we're looking for. Who did I say? Cray Valley and Ramsgate. Cray. Oh, come on. South Central. There we go. Is it South Central? No, yeah. South East.
South East, sorry.
It's in the South East. Right. There we go. Cray Valley are away at Horndean. Ramsgate are at home against Three Bridges. So. There we go. Could go either way there. But on the other end of the table, Beckenham are gone and Erith and Belvedere have gone. So,
okay.
Yeah, so there you go. That's rounds up of steps three and steps four. I haven't really looked at step five and step six because that's another 33 divisions.
Yeah.
And they're all, they should, in theory, all be finished.
They're not.
No, I know they're not, but they should be, shouldn't they? Not. So.
They're not. Some leagues are still playing actual fixtures. The playoffs are were due to be the semi-finals this weekend, finals next weekend. No, sorry. The playoffs were due to be last weekend semi-finals and the finals this weekend.
Yeah.
I don't know. Some leagues they've got the ability to extend to the 4th of May now, essentially.
Right.
Which is... next weekend, isn't it?
Not this weekend, next weekend. That's right.
But that should, in theory, all be wrapped up by next weekend. In theory.
Maybe we do around the fives and sixes next weekend, then. Next week.
Yeah, can do. But yeah, I can give you a little bit of an insight of the last week or two of the Midland League.
Yeah, go for it, because I've heard some interesting stuff.
Yeah. So, if you remember back to our last podcast, the non-league day, Tilda played Litchfield, which was Litchfield's game in hand over Congleton.
Yeah.
Litchfield obviously beat us, went top of the league on goal difference. I believe their goal difference was 6 or 7 better than Congleton.
Mm-hmm.
It was around that. Then what happened? Was it? Around the midweek fixtures. It was when the week we played Whitchurch. So, yeah, not a good week for us. But anyway, Litchfield won their game. I can't remember who they played. Congleton also won their game.
Yeah.
But the goal difference was eradicated. Congleton, the final score was... Northwich Victoria 0. Congleton Town 10.
Yeah.
So that obliterated the goal difference and swung it into Congleton's favour. It was only 1 or 2 at that point because I think Litchfield won 1 or 2-0 or 2-1 or something like that. But essentially, they went from having a 6 or 7 goal difference against them to a 2 or 3 goal difference in their favour, Congleton.
Yeah. Interesting.
And they had 3 games left each. The Saturday, I can't remember who Congleton played. It was Bewdley.
It would have been Bewdley, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was. It was Bewdley Town. In front of a crowd of 1,088 at Congleton. That finished Congleton Town 7, Bewdley Town 0.
To be fair, that one's not that outrageous looking at Bewdley. I mean, they've shipped 156 goals this year.
Say again, sorry.
I said that's not that out there, really, because Bewdley have shipped 156 goals this season.
Yeah, and I'd lost a few big ones already this season as well. But yeah, so Congleton won 7-0. Litchfield were playing at home to Dudley Town. As we're aware from this podcast, Dudley Town very much the form team in the Midland League. I think they'd only lost one or two games since Christmas.
Right.
Dudley Town took the lead into the break. And Litchfield equalised very late on. So that finished 1-1.
Right, yeah.
So that then gave Congleton a 2-point advantage.
Yeah.
With
2 to go, I think.
2 to go, yeah. That brought us into the midweek fixtures where I've missed the reindeer. No. Litchfield, when Congleton won in the week at Northwich, Litchfield drew with Dudley there, 1-1. That was the Bank Holiday Monday game. Yeah, that was the Bank Holiday Monday games. Congleton won 10-0 and Litchfield drew 1-1.
Yeah.
So that gave Congleton a 2-point advantage there.
Yeah.
And then Congleton won 7-0 at Bewdley.
And Litchfield drew again, yeah.
And Litchfield drew 1-1. So then that made it the 4-point advantage, I believe it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then that brought us into, theoretically, the last week of fixtures. Litchfield were away to Highgate. Congleton were supposed to play us at home on a Tuesday. As you recall, we were called off.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, because we were expecting a massive crowd. Just bad luck this season, and that didn't happen. So a few of the Congleton fans diverted and went to Highgate. So when Litchfield won the look, Highgate pulled it back to 1-1. Highgate went 2-1 up, and that's how it finished. So Congleton won the league without kicking the ball on a Tuesday night.
At least they had a lot of fans there.
Yep. So yeah, that was it. And I can't remember how the last game was finished. Obviously, that beat us 5-0. Congleton played Dudley Town as well. And we're presented with the trophy on the Saturday, which also was a dent to us because we were like, give them the trophy at us, give it the last game of the season, get some fans down. Because they took 600 to Dudley to watch them lift the trophy.
Right.
We ended up with 66. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Congleton won it 5-0. So they beat Dudley 5-1 and then beat us 5-0. So their last four games, they scored 27 goals. So that was the title wrapped up. Obviously, Litchfield in the playoffs. Going into the last few weeks, Dudley, Darlaston and Stairport wrapped up the last two. So it was the last one to play for, and it's between Highgate and Studley. Studley have played all their games. I think Highgate had two left. And this was last Thursday. Highgate had one left. And last Thursday. And it was against Bewdley. Studley were currently in the playoffs, 3 points in front of them. I can't remember what the points were. And had a goal difference of plus 12 over Highgate. But Highgate have scored considerably more goals. So Highgate went into the game needing to win by 12 goals or more. I think it was 5-0 at half time. Then the tweets started coming through. It's 6-0. Okay. 7-0.
Yeah.
8-0 with 9 minutes to go. I'm like, this is going to be close. 9-0? 10-0? No, it wasn't. It wasn't 8-0 with 10 minutes with 9 minutes ago. It was 8-0 with 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And then it went 9-0, 10. I'm like, this, I could do this. Got to 11. Mm-hmm. 81 minutes, 12-0.
Yeah.
So they did it.
Who were they playing?
Bewdley.
Right, Bewdley again.
So then it was like, okay, there's 9 minutes now. Surely they're going to get some more and make it comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Twitter went quiet from both sides. I don't remember everyone like who was everyone. The whole of the Midlands just seemed to be constantly refreshing Twitter to see what was going on. and we had our dividend chat. I said, I'm just waiting for it. Got to 9:45. We're like, come on, it's got to be finished now. Got to 10:00. Still nothing confirmed. It's got to be finished. I said, I'm just waiting for it. 90+17, Bewdley 1, Highgate 12. but it never came. It finished 12-0. And Highgate nicked that.
Yeah, match. Same points, nicked it. They've got it on goals scored in the end because their goal difference is the same, I think.
Yeah, they got it on goals scored, yeah. There was allegations of match fixing all over Twitter. I'm like, yeah, it's definitely not match fixing. Usually have nothing to play for.
Yeah, well, like I said, with the 7-0 that Congleton got against Bewdley, it's not outrageous when the opponent's Bewdley, is it?
No. and as you say, Bewdley, absolutely nothing to play for. They were just playing out the season. And Highgate with a target, and they hit that target.
Absolutely. Yeah, had it been any other team in the division, I would say there'd certainly got to be an investigation into match fixing. But Bewdley, no.
Yeah.
They can lose 12-0 quite easily.
Yeah.
Wasn't it then that Tiddydale beat 9-0 when I went to see?
No, it was Bridgenorth.
Was that Bewdley? That was Bridgenorth. It began with a B.
Both by the River Severn, same thing. But yeah, no, I have to say, though, fair play to Bewdley. They could have easily folded this season. They didn't. They've kept the team together.
Mm-hmm.
They're able to take the mickey out of themselves. They do, like I say, when I put that tweet out about, I thought I said Bewdley were winning, and they were the ones who liked it. They're fully aware of the situation. It's the same as us. We took the mickey out of ourselves plenty of times this season. You've got it off, you'd just fall apart, and it's finished with Congleton as champions, Lichfield, Darlaston, Stourport, and Highgate in the playoffs. Semi finals of this weekend is Lichfield, Highgate, and Darlaston, Stourport, and the other town have been relegated, fortunately, just the one to go down this year, So I think Bewdley finished with 4 points, with a -137 goal difference, was it?
Bewdley, I've got it on screen, actually. Their goal difference, -140.
Yes, that was it, 140.
Yeah. 34, 1-1, drew 1, lost 32, goals 4-16, goals against 156.
Yep, so Tiverdale have contributed well to Bewdley's season. We gave them 75% of their points and 25% of their goals.
Well, how charitable.
Yep. Somebody got to feel sorry for them. But yeah, no, like I say, fair play to them for seeing out the season, because they could easily have, at any point, just gone, we ain't got the money, getting battered every week. No.
Yeah.
But they haven't. They've gone down to step 6, which is less strained financially.
Yeah.
Hopefully they'll bounce back. I'll get some investment and we'll see them back at step 5 soon.
Yeah, eventually.
Yeah, nice club, nice ground, nice people.
Yeah.
Hi.
Right. Well, there you go. That's pretty much wrapped up the season, almost.
Yeah, almost.
I mean, we've got next week we'll round up steps 5 and 6 properly. And then the week after that,
we'll have the
well, we might
trophy
week,
in pass.
If we do that, and maybe if we record next week then and do the roundup sets 5 and 6, and then we'll leave it till after the Vars final, so it'll be sort of like 10 days.
Yeah.
And we're waiting till after the Vars and trophy, because that'll be the following weekend. So,
I do have some big scores for you if you want them.
Oh, go on then. What, bigger than 4-12-0?
Unfortunately not, but the criteria went to 6 goals.
Yeah.
There's 25 games, unbelievably, this week to add 6 goals or more in.
Oh, God. Right, okay.
That's just from this weekend that's just gone.
Yeah.
So, we had Dagenham and Redbridge 3, Aldershot 3. Dorking 3, Hartlepool 4. Blythe Spartans 1, Brackley 5. Maidstone 5, Hampton and Richmond 1. Torquay 5, Havant Waterlooville 0.
Yeah.
Worthing 4, Western Supermare 2. Bradford Park, Avenue 3, Gainsborough Trinity 3. Cray Wanderers 1. I've written 15, but it's just 5. So Cray Wanderers 1, Bognor Reaches 5. Folkestone and Invictica 3, Dulwich Hamlet 3. Sudbury 7, Long Eaton 1. Telford 6, Berkhamsted 2. Barwell 3, Redditch United 3. Pontefract Colliery 6, Grimsby Borough 0. Sporting Council 1, Spalding 7. Bearers and Pitsy 2, Walthamstow 4. Berrytown 6, Enfield 0. Stone Market 3, Basildon 4. Chichester 2, Ramsgate 4. Lancing 4, Ashford United 2. Cray Valley Paper Mills 4, Herne Bay 2. Corinthian Casuals 4, Uxbridge 2. Barton Rovers 5, Hadley 2. Welwyn Garden City 3, Aylesbury United 3. Lark Hall Athletic 4, Biddeford? Yep, 3. And Yate Town 3, Cribbs Causeway 3.
All right.
Hmm?
Yeah, lots of goals belting in at the end of the season when people are playing interesting team lineups.
Yeah, and a couple of relegated teams with some big ones there. Corinthian Casuals.
Yeah, 4. Absolutely. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got a little bit of news if you want it.
Go on, be quick then.
Yeah. I suppose the place where we've got to start is FA Cup replay news.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm sure you're all aware. FA Cup, the FA released a statement last week saying from next season, from the first round, it is next season, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. From the first round, replays will be no longer.
Mm-hmm.
And I said after consulting everyone. Well, no, they didn't initially. They didn't initially. They said after the FA and the Premier League, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then obviously there was some backlash from clubs and whatever else lower down the pyramid. They then came out the next day saying we consulted every club, every participant. All participants were consulted, I think was the wording that came from the FA.
Right.
Including the EFL. The EFL very quickly released a counter statement saying we were never consulted. Said it was mentioned about fixture congestion in September, but it was never, ever mentioned about the possibility of removing replays. National League, interestingly, have come out and supported the move.
Have they?
The National League have, yeah. Not the teams, the actual league.
Right.
The teams are very much against it in the National League.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that Tivadar definitely weren't consulted by the FA.
Yes.
Yeah,
they've done it through the back door as usual, made a decision and then decided to try and make it fit. So,
well,
it's going to hit clubs. I mean, certainly, probably steps 4, 5, and 6, you're not going to see many teams get as far as the first round anyway. But no. Steps 1, 2, and 3 of the National League.
Yeah,
as always, at least 2 or 3 that get into the first round manage to get a a wild draw and get a replay away at a big team. I mean, it can make a team season financially.
Financially, yeah. I mean, just thinking, I don't think Maidstone got a replay this year, did they? I think they won all of theirs outright.
I believe they got all of theirs outright. Cray Valley Paper Mills, they got a replay against Millwall, didn't they?
Charlton.
Charlton.
Yeah.
It was a London team.
Yeah, they did, yeah. Think back as well, a couple of years, I was trying to think, there's some... Well, it's going back a while, but Exeter City, when they were non-league, they drew at Old Trafford and took Manchester United back to their ground.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Stourbridge have done it a couple of times.
Yeah, I'm just thinking more recently. I mean, it's not non-league, but Shrewsbury, that was another big one.
This is the thing, isn't it? It extends to the EFL as well. League One and Two sides, so you think condemning it. There's not so many at the top end of the EFL because you like think they're kind of on the verge of Premier League. But then you think to the Premier League, you're like, well, how many of these clubs are going to back this? Because it affects... You can think of one or two straight away. It's going to be Man City and Liverpool because Pep and Klopp are so outspoken about fixture congestion, they put it. we'll get into that in a minute. I've done a little bit of analysis. But then you think of teams towards the middle and the bottom who don't have fantastic cup runs anyway, aren't in Europe. No. It's not really going to affect them. But yeah, pretty much all of League One and League Two have come out against it. Pretty much all of the National League have. I've seen some clubs as low as Step 5 put a statement out saying they're against it. But yeah, the thing that I want to pick up from the statement was that the Premier League are committing to put 330 million or something, £33 million a season. Yeah, £33 million every season for the next 3 years into grassroots. But also saying they currently pay £1.6 billion every 3 years. So what wasn't clarified and what I've tried to get clarified, but obviously with the amount of swings I've not had a reply, are you telling me that they're going to be paying an additional £33 million per season on top of that 1.6 across the three seasons, or it's being reduced from £1.6 billion to £99 million across three seasons? Because where's the benefit to grassroots if that's the case?
Exactly. Hopefully it's an additional. So
yeah, hopefully. But the final point on this is the fixture congestion thing. So
yeah,
I've compared Premier League to the Midland Football League. So bear in mind the Midland Football League has got two less teams, so four less league games in the season.
Yeah.
So I've compared Sheffield United, bottom of the Premier League. Went out the first stage they could in the Carabao Cup and the fourth round of the FA Cup, so they played two games. So, including the Premier League this season, Sheffield United, not including pre-season, will play 41 competitive games.
Yep.
And then I've compared it to Tivadel, obviously, because we're towards the bottom. So, 18 teams in our league, so there's only 34 games compared to the Premier League's 38.
Yeah.
In competitive games this season, Tivadar have played 43.
Yeah.
So there's more for a team, two teams in a similar situation. If we were in a 20 team league, it would have been 47.
Yeah.
So then we'll move to Manchester City. Obviously, top of the league in Europe. So including their European games and including the upcoming FA Cup final that they're in and their FIFA World Cup games this season, they have played, will by the end of the season, played 57 competitive games. I then went, obviously, top of the Midland League was Congleton, who finished top. They've still got a game to play, a cup final. they will have played 44. So, okay, fair enough. But again, with those additional league games, it would have been 48. Yeah. But then, interestingly, out of interest, I looked because I was like, well, Gronk's going to run it just by a couple of points. So I looked at Litchfield.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Litchfield is still in the playoffs. So there's potentially be two more games there instead of one. And still in the semi-final of a cup. So there's potential they could still play four games this season.
Mm-hmm.
So if they win both their semi-finals, Litchfield will have played 52 competitive games this season.
And these are players with full-time jobs.
Full-time jobs, yeah.
Well,
and again, that's with four less league games. So if it had been a 20-league team...
56.
It'd be 56, which is only one less than Manchester City.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they've got players that are full-time and all they do is play football.
Earning hundreds of thousands and a squad of about 60 players.
Yeah. Madness, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, Litchfield are like, no, we're happy to keep third place. As are the rest of the Midland League, we're happy to keep third place.
Yeah.
Because, like I say, it's unlikely that we would get that far. So we'll still have replays anyway. So, but for us, if we can make it to the second qualifying round, which isn't unrealistic, it's only three games to win, and if the draw is kind, we could draw a National League North or South side.
Yeah.
So, go to their place somewhere, for example, like Rushall or whatnot, just because they're local. Grind out a 0-0 draw, bring them back to the beaches. That would make our season.
Yeah, absolutely.
And probably the next season.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but that's the rant on replays done. Then there's just three very, very quick things. Still on fixture congestion, though. Tooting and Ealing, I think they're in the Wessex League. They have, and still have, some games to play. Where are we? 12 games to play for April.
Bloody hell.
Obviously, they've played the majority of those now. I think they've got four left, maybe five. But on the 16th of April, they'd already played the night before. I just didn't have time to look at it again in the end. But they played East Cowes away.
Over on the Isle of Wight, yeah?
Yep. Now, because they'd only played the night before... and their fixture congestion, they were only able to take a squad of nine.
Oh, God.
Which was the minimum required to not, obviously, have to fit the fixture. So, a squad of nine, played the night before, away on the Isle of Wight. What do you reckon the score was after 90 minutes?
Oh, I don't know. 74-0?
Nope. In all honesty, I don't. And the fair play to East Cowes, they put out a very respectable tweet after saying fair play to them. No shame in the result. Very good performance on what was a tough evening. 6-0.
6-0, is that out?
Yeah.
They've done all right there then.
Yep. But that's just, again, what I'd like to point out. 12 games across all of April, and you've got Mr. Klopp and Mr. Guardiola complaining about fixture congestion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tooting and Ealing and just getting on with it. On the subject of playoffs, National League, Gateshead were excluded. Although they finished inside the playoffs due to, I believe it's a lease issue with the ground. The council wouldn't extend it to 10 years. Wouldn't guarantee them the lease for 10 years. And to be in EFL, you've got to have a minimum of 10-year lease. Their ground is owned by Gateshead Council.
Yeah.
Gateshead Council then took a lot of abuse on Twitter. They then released a statement saying it's nothing to do with us at all. We're looking to sell it to a private firm, with the caveat that the Gateshead must remain there for 10 years. And like, so it is you, because you refuse to say to Gateshead you're guaranteed the next 10 years.
Yeah.
So you have prevented it, really. What else do you expect from councils? And then the final things, I think the team you started your season at, Real Bedford,
yes.
What's the record? owned by a cryptocurrency billionaire or millionaire.
Whereas he's got two of the partners in there now with more money.
Yep, and that's what the point was.
sorry.
No, that's fine. Yeah, they've had a further investment from $4.6 million US dollars, so it'll be around about £4 million, I'd imagine. High threes, low $4 million. From the Winklevoss twins. You know who they are?
They're crypto as well, aren't they?
They are. Would you know what their families were originally?
No.
Well, there's two things. They're obviously twins. They are rowers. I think it was the Beijing Olympics. And I think they won.
I do know the name, yes.
Yep. Gold medalists, I believe, at the Beijing Olympics for the, I don't know what it's called. I'm going to say doubles, but I know they don't call it doubles in rowing.
Pairs, usually.
So, yeah, I'm sure it was Beijing, and I think they competed at London as well.
Right.
They're also a part of the big team, the 8 or the 10, whatever it is. I'm sure they're part of that as well. But they were made famous also by the film The Social Network.
Oh, right.
These are the twins that claim that they invented Facebook and Mr. Zuckerberg stole it from them.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, well, they like controversial money at Braille Bedford.
Yeah.
But they have just absolutely stormed the Spartan South Midlands League, won it, scored 117 goals, and conceded 24, goal difference of 93, 91 points.
Yeah.
And so they've gone up into step three. I would imagine they'll go into Spartan South Midlands Division 1 Central. But they could, that's most likely.
But yeah, no, that is pretty much rounds up. Oh no, there is one more thing, final thing, and it is very, very good. Southern Premier League Division 1 Central, the one that Hitchin's in. Is it the one that Hitchin's in?
No, they're in the same. So they're Premier Division Central.
Yes, the league below. Division 1 Midlands.
Yeah.
The one with Hal's own and everyone in.
Yeah. Now that is, where are they? They are the Premier.
It's Southern League Premier. Premier League Division 1 Midlands, I think it is.
That's Northern Premier League. Hale's own are in Southern League Premier Central.
That's
step
it.
Step 3.
That's it.
Yeah.
Too many different bloody things in these things. But anyway, Harbour Town were top of that league and looked like they were going to win it and would have won it until last week they were given a 6-point deduction.
Hold on.
No season in the
Northern Premier League Midlands, I think. Yes, that's it.
Adjustment
minus
6. It's Spalding's league, isn't it?
Northern Premier League, Division 1 Midlands.
So, yeah, so they've been given a 6-point deduction, and I believe with those 6 points, they would have won the league now.
Well, they would have been on 88 with Spalding on 86. They wouldn't have absolutely won it, but they would be in the driving seat.
Yeah. So, yeah, they've shot themselves in the foot. They played an ineligible player for 2 games.
Oh, right, okay.
I believe he was suspended, and they played him, and it was an oversight apparently, but it's now cost them automatic promotion in the league, and they're going to have to settle for the playoffs.
Yep.
It'd be a costly mistake, but unfortunately it is what it is. They've taken the punishment, they've admitted it was their mistake. They've taken it well, but could have been a different ending for them. And we'll now have to see how they're doing in the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And that rounds up the new Ez.
Okay, that rounds us up. So, like I say, we'll reconvene next week and finalise all of Step 5 and Step 6 action and look forward to the VARs and the trophy finals.
Yep, and we'll switch those next week or of the semi-finals and that, because I don't think they were still outstanding, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, there was one tie that was left outstanding. yeah. But yeah, we'll touch on that next week.
Cool. Excellent.
Right.
Right. Goodbye, fans. Right.
If you're still with us.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, there you go. Quite a lot in there in the end. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's good. Good. Yeah. But no, there is still plenty out there this weekend for people to go to.
Oh, yes, definitely. Definitely.
Get this uploaded quick as possible so people have got time to make their plans if they hear us.
Yeah.
Not going to spoil them because it's free. So.
Yeah, it's not a million miles from you, is it really?
It's up the A1. It'll be a fair trek. I'm going to Bedford because Bedford sounds like fun.
So. Yeah. Yeah, I won't be a game at the weekend, but I may go to Cornwall Tuesday.
Right, yeah, cool. So if we record back end of next week then, and we'll just have a look at it and see where we're up to then.
Yep.
Okie dokie. All right, well, I shall speak to you soon.
Yep, speak to you soon.
All right, bye.
Bye. Bye.